What's up, guys? Working class on DeerCast. We have taken over Mark's basement. We made him buy us lunch and then took over his basement bar while he's out doing farm things.
Twisted his arm to buy us lunch.
Yeah, but he's doing farm things without his farm manager, right?
I just crawled out of the tractor, come hang out with you guys for a little bit.
You did.
We did a little switch with Mark.
Wade Robinson, thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We kind of came to you, but thanks for doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So I know Mark, before I said, you're going to do the podcast, and then that's how it worked out.
He gave me a text last week. Hey, Kurt and the guys are coming next week.
You're in, pretty much.
You're up to bat.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah, we did. We went out, stole you out of a tractor. We went to lunch, and now we're podcasting.
Nothing wrong with that.
What's your job?
Man, everything.
Yeah.
You know, in the fall, I'm running a camera. And in the spring and summer, I'm usually on a tractor or building something. Whether
yeah.
it's working on box blinds or.
You're the handyman kind of, yeah. too.
You know, last week, Perry and I, we were building a walk-in cooler down at our Missouri farm. So
yeah.
we don't know much about construction, but give us a little time and we'll figure it out.
Hey, that's what YouTube's for, right?
Exactly.
Well, hell, I mean, that's true. How'd you get this job? Like, how did it all – like, where's the beginning?
What's your background?
Yeah, Wade and Drury, how did that get lined up?
Man, it goes way back. I was in college, going to college to be a dentist.
Really?
So that I could make enough money to eventually hunt every day. Well,
okay, good.
I got the shortcut. You know, I did a little bit of deer guiding at an outfitter mm-hmm. down in Southeast Kansas. And, one of the other guides is like, hey, you know, he was telling me about how he filmed for Jared every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, that's my dream. You know, if anything ever comes up, throw my name out there
mm-hmm.
and, we'll see what happens. So he did. And it was probably a month later, Mark gave me a call. His old farm manager, cameraman, ended up going back down south. And, you know, I came up, interviewed, and took off from there.
No kidding.
Yeah. Mark has some funny stories on that first interview, though.
Oh, I bet.
We got to ask him about those. Well,
yeah, I know. We'll have to get him on, like, an after-hours deal and get all those. That's cool, though. I mean, that just goes to show, like, it doesn't hurt to, like, take a chance. And it's like, hey, man, that'd be kind of neat. Throw my name in there just in case.
Yeah.
You know,
because my dad always ran cattle and stuff, so, you know, I kind of lived on a farm, but
yeah.
not this, like the row crops and
right.
food plots and that kind of stuff, but
yeah.
had the passion for hunting and willingness to learn,
right.
and just took it off.
A little different path, though, too. Dentist yeah. to farm manager.
Right.
It all starts with just trying to make enough money so that I could afford to hunt every day.
Right, right.
Same end goal, I guess, right?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So how long after, like, okay, hey, you got the job, were you, like, filming hunts?
I started in July, right after the 4th of July.
So it was just like right into it from
yeah.
there. And then how long from that first year, maybe it started the first fall, did you start killing deer on
yeah,
film?
Yeah, I was able to kill my first deer. I think it was October 30th.
Oh, man, you got like right into
yeah.
it, like pretty quick.
Yep.
See, that's awesome.
Yeah, I made sure that, you know, I went through with all my residency stuff as soon as I moved here. So
oh, yeah.
the time frame, because in Iowa, it takes a little bit of time to get your residency.
Yeah, Iowa's so, kind of got smart about that, I
yeah.
imagine, from other people ruining it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
well, I don't know.
Went through that process. And,
yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Because you've, like, when I see you on film, it's like, oh, yeah, that's Wade. You know what I mean? Like, I see you as, like, Mark's, like, guy.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I don't know. That's a compliment. You know, I don't know if that is to you or not.
No, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's going on my 11th fall. So, I mean,
yeah,
I was just been here a little while.
Yeah, since I was 19.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So,
see, that's awesome, though. Do you get recognized a lot as being like part of the jury crew
yeah.
when you're out and about?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's pretty
kind of
cool.
weird.
Nah, no, not too bad, unless like we're at like the Deer Classic or something, and then, you know, it's hard to really
get anywhere.
Yeah, but it's all right. I mean, I guess it's all part of the
yeah, that's
the
cool,
deal.
Right? That's a cool
yeah,
part of
absolutely.
It. Yeah, I just didn't know, you know, like, kind of curious, like, talking to farm guys or, you know, you just don't know what people's background are. Some dudes are just like, yeah, I mean, I just do the thing, and that's what it is. I don't want to be bothered, and then
yeah,
it's cooler to some people than others.
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, like,
yeah.
like I said, because I was at that, you know, I was recognizing people and
right.
thought it was cool to go up and say hey and
for
talk
sure.
about deer with them or whatever,
yeah.
you know.
It's definitely encouraged, I guess, from an industry standpoint, you know, but
right.
I imagine it gets overwhelming. Like, Mark can't even go to some of them shows,
yeah.
you know.
It's yeah.
like, he did 1 year at Iowa, and I was, like, watching him walk through. I'm like, that doesn't look fun, I don't
no,
think.
No, not fun at all.
You yeah. know? But he does so good with it. He's
yeah.
a natural.
You know, he always takes the time and talk to everybody. You got to. If he has the time at those other shows like ATA and stuff, whenever they've got meetings, it's hard to.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to get there right now. It's the only time everyone wants to go.
Matt's the director. We got to go. We got to go. We got to get here on time, blah, blah, blah. But.
Follow the dude with the clipboard, pretty much.
Exactly.
So what's so far up, 11 years or so, what has been your favorite part about the job and your least favorite part?
My favorite part is probably a hunt, the hunt for Bucktober.
Yeah.
That was just an unbelievable hunt. We hunted him so hard, and then the whole deal with the blind falling.
Yeah, we talked about that with Mark. It's like, you guys are lucky you didn't get, hurt bad.
Yeah, because Mark, has his arrow for his bow, the initial arrow, and then he always sets one out of his quiver. So
quick grab.
Yeah, if he needs it, he can grab it quick. But it was setting up against the front of the blind, and, whenever we went down, both of his arrows were crushed that were out of the quiver, and they obviously had rages on them.
Yeah.
And then the whole quiver full of arrows, those were busted.
So one of you guys landed on those arrows, pretty much.
You got lucky. You got real lucky with that.
Just not the right end of it.
Right,
Oh, but, man. Yeah, so adding that in to the rest of it.
Yeah. At least there's really no bad part of the job. During the summer and spring, it gets to be quite a grind, especially during turkey season, waking up early.
Right.
Hunting till 1 in Missouri and then going to climb on a tractor and work until dark. But
you're not living. It's not an easy job.
No, it's not easy. It's not,
you don't got banker hours.
Yeah, exactly. and that's one of the frustrating things that a lot of people they'll go on and say high fence. But, myself, Perry, Forrest, Mark, Terry, everybody putting in the work on the farm that they don't see. Because a lot of the stuff, which this year and last year, we've done a bit better just showing all the behind the scenes type stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Maybe it'll help people see what we actually go through to kill big deer.
Right. Yeah, I think that it definitely helps. And that perspective, I always like seeing it, because when you see... Yeah, if someone just sees the 10-second clip of the shot, and then you or Mark smoked him, and then it's like, that's a pup. People can talk shit that way. We have a TikTok. Yeah, it's on TikTok, right? People are dumber on TikTok. Of Austin's trophy room,
Yeah.
And everyone in there these guys got money. This isn't free range. And I'm like, man.
They must be nice guys.
It's like.
They must be nice guys.
First of all, if it was high fence, the racks would be bleach white and they'd be $250.
Right.
Yeah. If this is high fence, we're not messing around with 180.
I'm only shooting 150s on high fence hunts.
Right. You're going on a man in a high fence hunt.
Yeah, man. It was a coal on a high fence. So it's I don't think those people clearly don't understand because it's like, man, if you're going high fence, you're swinging for the fences. So you're
that's right. Literally.
Once you step into Jurassic Park, you're going to kill something well over 200.
Yeah, we're talking pushing 300. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And just trash everywhere.
So people don't get that, but I think it definitely helps, And that's got to be kind of annoying. I know you probably don't let it bother you when you see
that. No, you can't because, obviously they don't know any better. But, it does get a little frustrating because of all the work that we do put in the off-season and, just going through all the whole process to
just
to get behind that big buck.
Yeah. You probably have a different source of fulfillment with other people that come around to the farm, besides Mark and then you and then whoever else gets to hunt here and kill a deer. It's you had a part to play in
about
every deer on this place.
That's the thing. It doesn't matter who kills it, just being a part of the whole process is cool.
It comes full circle for you.
Yeah,
for
sure. You put all those hours in planting that food plot and then to get to see anybody shoot a deer over it. I will say, I'd rather be filming it than, doing something else. But it is cool no matter what. Whoever kills off the farms, it's cool seeing all the hard work in the off season come.
For sure. Because, it's I can tell you're always doing something. We pulled you out of the tractor to go eat.
So. We say deer is 365 for us, but it's really 365 for you, ain't it?
Yep, exactly.
For sure. Well, so I got some – what time are we at? We got some Patreon questions. I figure they'll probably take some time to chip through. So I figure we kind of answer them, kind of BS through them, and just kind of get through as many as we can. So some, there's not a full name. Some, there's a name and where they're from.
Yeah.
Mike said, Wade, having done probably every wildlife management practice known, what's the one practice you would say you've seen the most benefits from?
Probably being able to kill a deer, I would say food plot architecture. Mark's just a, unbelievably good at it.
Yeah.
And it's just planting the food plot, whether it's plant to your position, which, with a bow, we usually try and put radishes close because it seems like that they prefer that during bow season. And then, a different type of product. out a little further, whether it be last bite or winter bulbs or what have you for gun or whatever. But it seems to pull them close. But, you know, that seems to have been the biggest thing on killing deer is, like, just architecture whenever going in and put a food plot in.
Right. Is that something like the architecture of a plot? Is that something you took a while to adapt to? Like, now I imagine you can go look at a spot and be like, yeah, I'd do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Like, how long from when you first started did it take for you to get to that point?
I would say a couple years, two or 3 years.
It's still pretty quick, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Mark, it's just like...
That's true.
Yes. It's go, go, go.
Soaking in everything that you can. And,
yeah,
you know, he's just a master at it. And
what first was it, like, intimidating to work with Mark? Were you like, dude, I don't want to mess up and piss him off if I do this?
I think I was too young to be intimidated.
Kind of naive a little bit. Yeah. Just like, oh, yeah, that's not a bad way to look at it, really.
So
probably the best way to learn a lot of that stuff. But it's like a lot of guys in the trades, you know, you're in a trade, start when they're 19.
Yep.
And they're used to...
You're going to be a greenhorn at some point.
I mean, I'm not saying Mark yells at you, but, like, we all know what it's been like to be on that job and you're 19 and you got the old grumpy dude that's like, not like that, like this. Hold your hammer. And then you're just like, dude, I can't do anything right.
Right.
Yeah. But it's a good thing you don't run into that when you're 30. You do that when you're 19. Right. And then you just learn to go with it from there. Probably similar.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the next one. Nate Roosevelt. Would Wade shoot a 160-inch clean 8-pointer or a 170-inch clean 10-pointer?
160-inch 8-pointer for sure.
I think that's most of all.
Yeah. Kind of a frame guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very fair. Man, they're both good.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I'd shoot either of them. But
168, though, would look massive.
Oh, that's huge.
That looks like a 180. Yeah, versus, exactly.
Throw a couple little G4s on there. You got your
10-footer. Right, yeah. That's exactly it.
No, cool. But.
What's your favorite part about your job? We already kind of talked about it, but.
You know, obviously, just the, probably like the coolest thing of this whole deal is whenever we get to, you know, have Catch Dream in. And
that would be awesome,
Just, it's a whole different experience, you know, and takes our efforts and everything, you know, because that's the initial hunt that we plan for in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And we've been hosting up in Iowa the last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all of myself, Perry, Mark, everybody's attention goes to that hunt.
That's very
and,
cool.
You know, just that whole Catch a Dream Foundation is just an awesome.
That's probably pretty emotional and rewarding all in the same week. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's definitely the most rewarding part of my job.
I can imagine. That'd make a lot of, like, hours where you're frustrated or tired.
Make it worth it.
Yeah.
Worth it. Like, pretty quick.
Yep.
You know, just hanging out. Other questions here. We got Dakota from Michigan. Thanks for the question or comment. Perry is an awesome shot. Perry's also one of the farm managers, which we did a podcast with Perry early on in Working Class on DeerCast. Mm-hmm. Did you, like, hide him somewhere?
Yeah, I kicked him out to spray some beans. Right now.
Shipped him out?
Yeah.
So technically, are you his supervisor?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we just work together.
Come on, let it loose.
I like to think so.
He's not here.
He's not here. We won't tell him. Well, I guarantee he's going to listen to it. So
he won't listen.
Think you I'm Perry's supervisor. Are you kidding me?
I'm the boss around here, okay?
Dakota says, Perry seems like an awesome shot from the shot on 13 last season. You've been shooting a little low lately. What's the difference in your guys' preparation? It's a kind of a frank question.
We need to go back through the archives and let everybody see Perry shooting last year.
Is it bad?
No, Perry is a good shot. But, you know, Mark's always taught me to aim low. You know, I sight in 2 inches low because one thing's for sure, the deer's not going to drop.
Right.
Or the deer is going to drop, you know, so.
Yeah.
Most of the time they drop, and if they don't, you still should be good.
Yeah, for sure. So that's something I always think I probably need to think about more. Like, I'm not really a heart shot guy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a heart shot guy?
No.
I'm a lung guy.
Definitely not.
But I think there's times I'm like, shit, I wish I would have been a heart shot guy.
Yeah.
Because of that drop.
Yeah. Yep.
So, but you always hear, like, you see that on TV, guys like, ah, man, I expect him to drop, and he didn't. Like, you know, Waddell's pretty vocal on it.
Yeah.
He shoots one, he's like, oh, shit, you know.
But no, like, yeah, I have hit them low, but, you know, I guess there's more area to kill them down low than there is up high because once you get it.
Yeah, there's not going back.
Yeah, if I had to pick being too high or too low, I'd rather pick too low.
I think
that's true.
100%. Yeah. So. 100%. Thanks, Dakota. Kind of a rude question.
Sorry to expose you, Perry. If he was here, he'd laugh about it, too.
Oh, yeah. Sure, he would. Perry, get back to work. Spray those beans. Ethan Singletary, describe your favorite gas station food as if it were a whitetail buck. Credit goes to Judd. Judd's one of our guys who runs our group, and we're always talking about, like, Casey's or Quick Trip.
Oh, yeah.
And I recently said Quick Trip is kind of throwing some shade because Casey's is the Midwestern classic.
Oh, for sure.
Like Iowa, Illinois. It's a big buck-killing classic, you know, I like to think. And I threw some shade at Quick Trip back. They made a meme about throwing Casey's pizza in the trash, and I made a comment back to it. It was in our group. I said that Quick Trip is the guy who killed a 120-inch deer and has been hunting for 2 years and all of a sudden is doing informational TikToks. So there's my shade at Quick Trip.
Hey, you're not wrong.
Yeah. We're just trying real hard to get a Casey's partnership.
Right.
Yeah.
So describe your favorite gas station food as if it were a whitetail buck. That's a hard one.
That is a hard one. I mean, every morning I grab a breakfast burrito from Casey's, if that counts for anything.
So how do you compare a breakfast burrito to a buck?
I don't know.
It'd have to be the Pope and Young. I'm going the cinnamon rolls, probably the Booner.
Oh, there you go. That's a good way to compare.
Yeah.
Because we had some Casey's breakfast burritos this morning.
I did. I had a burrito this morning. It was delicious.
They were they weren't quite Boone and Crockett, but definitely Pope and Young.
Pope and Young, for sure.
You know,
definitely Pope and Young.
Yeah, I got Cole. I'd Cole one of those. Had nothing else to eat. You had to take it. It's probably fair, isn't it? Thanks, Ethan. Hunter Wagner. Wade in Iowa, how could you manage an 80-acre property for food when you have permission for bow season and late season muzzleloader, but the owner gives permission to other people for shotgun season, and after shotgun season, 80% of the deer move on to another property? How would you manage an 80-acre property for food when you have permission for bow season and late muzzleloader season, but the owner gives permission to other people for shotgun season and after shotgun season? That's
so basically, obviously you want to try and kill him early.
Right.
So, you know, if he's got permission bow before those other guys get in there, so at least you get to kill one of your deer early with a bow. So obviously I would try and get decent size bean field to hold them all summer and then transfer them from those beans to like a radish plot that you could bow hunt over.
Get it done early.
Yeah.
That way you're in. And then they'll pretty much be moved off of those food sources by the time.
It just depends on the weather. I mean, first and second gun, they definitely.
That's a tough one to navigate.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, just try and kill them early with, you know, beans to hold them during the summer and then have a radish field to suck them whenever that green-to-green transfer happens.
And don't share your trail cam pictures.
Yeah, do not share them.
Keep those low-key.
But, yeah, I would just try and kill them early over radishes as soon as.
Yeah, that's probably the best. Yep. Advice you could give somebody that's got to split their deer season.
Yeah, for sure. You know, because the beans will hold them all summer. And then, you know, once that transfer hits in October, usually we plant our radishes second.
Is that what you call it, the green to green transfer?
Yeah, whenever the beans start to defoliate and turn yellow, it's like a transition from those green, what were green beans, straight to your green plots.
Can you guys predict that every year? Like, oh, beans are starting to turn, like, you know, is there a spot where this might be, maybe I don't know how to ask this question right, but I always wondered this because I hear you guys use that term green to green transfer, and you see the beans starting to turn yellow. Like, does the whole field pretty much got to be yellowed over for that happens, or is it varying?
I mean, like, we pick our beans and based on the plant date and the weather that we're going to get our beans planted, and then once their maturity hits, then they start defoliating. But, yeah, I mean, those deer will still be out in those beans, even if some of the leaves are a little bit green. They'll still be out in them, but as soon as they defoliate completely, they'll all be right in your radishes.
And then they're pretty much not back on beans if they're still there until, like, brutal cold.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Good advice, I think. Man, that kind of sucks. You have to split your season. So it's like, unless you like the guy, don't let him benefit from your hard work.
Yeah, but definitely try and kill him early. I mean,
that's all you can do, really.
You know, and then you'll have your beans for late season. You know, if you get some deep snow, because he said he could hunt muzzleloader, right?
Yep.
Late muzz.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bow and late muzzleloader. So, yeah, he could be back in the cards.
Yep.
I mean, I get how that is, though, Hunter, because sometimes you got to play the politics or whatever. Yeah. I mean, you're at the mercy of the landowner at that. Zach Jacoby asked, if you had to plant one type of food, we're going back to food. If you had to plant one type of food and that's all you could plant, what would it be? Shoot a giant, he says.
Clover.
Clover.
Yep. It's, you know, durable. You know, it keeps growing. Mm-hmm. So that, like, you know, that's some of the problem that we run into with our green fields. If they're not big enough, you know, they'll eat them out in September,
yeah,
and you have nothing to hunt over come October.
Right.
And so, but clover, you know, obviously keeps growing, mm-hmm. easy to maintain. And, you know, if you, you know, replant it every 3 to 5 years, you're good. And
you're good,
it's,
yeah.
And we've killed some giants on clover, and it's been just, it's probably the most
consistently.
It
kind of is the working man's food plot, yeah, because
very,
like you said,
very
you
easy know, to maintain.
Yeah, replant yeah. every 3 to 5 years. You can mow it.
It gives them food for 12 months, too. I mean, they're yeah. in it all year round.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. I mean, once you get snow cover, obviously it really screws you over. But,
yeah.
I mean, we've had deer digging through 8 inches of snow to get down to the clover. But, yeah, if you had one food plot, I'd probably do clover. Like I said, it mm-hmm. lasts all year long. And
but I noticed, too, and Mark told me this last spring, he's like, yeah, man, if you plant clover, eventually, like, turkeys will be there. And a farm that I have a really lush clover field in now, I was just telling these guys for the podcast, I'm getting trail cam pictures of turkeys in it. And mm-hmm. it's a farm that I didn't turkey hunt it last spring. I was like, there's no birds. I hunted it all fall. Yeah. I never saw birds, never heard birds. But now that clover field's taken yeah. off, it's like they're in there now.
So then you get deer and turkey.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you plant like a radish plot, which I mean, the most attractability for, you know, early season hunting, I would pick radishes. Like mm-hmm. if I had one plot that I could plant and expect to kill something over, it'd be radishes. But like mm-hmm. just if you could only choose one plot, it'd be clover, just because it lasts all year long.
Yeah.
And you know, it's pretty easy to maintain, and
you need minimal equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I maintain plots with like a riding lawnmower. Yeah.
Pull the you deck all the clover. Way up.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
I mean, yeah. however you gotta get
you
in
can
there,
do right? with a push mower if you need to.
That's right. Yeah. Chris Adams first, he said thanks for doing the podcast. And all the work the WCB guys put in to share this with us. Thanks, Chris. For Wade, knowing the answer. So this first one was from Mark. So I'll just ask it to you, Howie. Where would you implement? Okay, hold on. I got to go back and read the part. These are on the fly because I don't like to know what we're going into. He wanted to ask Mark, what is the most beneficial habitat improvement you can make on the farm that's been recently selective timber cut? Recently yeah. selective timber. Okay. Wade, knowing, assuming Mark just answered this, where would you implement, this is, I don't know if this is going to work, knowing the answer Mark just gave, which Mark's not on this podcast, where would you implement that improvement? Closer to bedding, food, or at a random make?
So he's banking on Mark's answer and then yeah, Wade's answer.
Yeah, when I asked the question on Patreon, I went back and edited, said, hey, they're separate podcasts, but this is asked like you guys are both on the same podcast, so this might not work.
I have him answer both of them.
Most beneficial habitat improvement you can make on a selective timber cut. That makes sense?
Say it again.
Wouldn't a selective timber cut be the...
Yeah, that would be the benefit, right? Yeah. For
what's
bedding?
The most beneficial habitat improvement you can make on a farm that's been recently selective timber cut?
Oh, that has
timber
been
cut.
Recently. Okay. Okay.
That's a hard one because you'd have to have that specific like scenario.
Yeah. I guess it's, I mean, obviously you just made a giant bedroom. So,
right.
You know,
you've hunted some farms that were recent, like that you cut, right?
Well, it was more of a timber harvest than a TSI. Yeah.
Gotcha. I don't know. That's specific. I have no idea how to answer that. I have no experience with that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know if it's the right answer, but like, you know, you just made a giant bedroom. So push food close and
yeah.
you know, you'll have your deer bedded close to your food. I mean, I don't know really how to answer that either.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
It's hard not, you know, having it.
Yeah.
You know, back to back.
Okay. Where are we at? Go back. I got two. Paul from Ohio. And he brings up Perry again. Perry's, by the way, still working for Wade.
We work together.
Okay. This is kind of funny. We work together, yeah. Like Perry is going to listen. He might listen.
He'll probably listen because he'll know that I'll be giving him shit.
Sounds like Paul from Ohio might have a crush on Perry. Perry looks country strong. What's it like working with someone like that when it comes to intensive farm work labor, having that strength every day by your side? It's Paul from Ohio.
Ugh. Nice,
some
I guess.
Man crushes on Perry.
Yeah, for
sure. It's nice, I guess. I mean, it's like, well, yeah, it's great. that's hilarious. Okay.
He's a nice guy to have around.
That was Paul from Ohio. That's
big old
Paul.
Country boy.
Big old plump country man.
Someone does have a crush on Perry.
Two guys. Chris Buckles. Wait, if you lived in northeast Vermont, would you rather hunt out of state than a true Midwest state once a year, or try to hunt a state closer that had potential for better deer, but was close enough that you could potentially hunt there two, maybe three times in a season? So if you lived in northeast Vermont, would you rather go to a Midwest state once a year or go to just a closer state that had a little better quality deer and hunt two, three times a season?
Well, I've never hunted up in the northeast, but I heard there is a lot of pressure all through that area. So,
yeah.
I mean, I would probably – I love hunting the Midwest, so I would say get out of the northeast and head to the Midwest and, you know, have one really good hunt in the Midwest.
I think that would be the best move.
Personally. That's what I'd say, too.
So, yeah. We talked about that in the past. It's like you see guys complain about, like, well, I live in this state. We don't have the big deer like Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Wisconsin has. And my answer is kind of always like, and that listeners are probably getting tired of me saying it, but it's like, if you want to kill a mule deer, you got to go where a mule deer live. Like,
right. Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, if they're not there, they're hard to hunt. So
right. It's like almost impossible.
But kill a big buck, you got to go where the big bucks are.
I think that's a healthy way to look at it, though. That's your goal.
I mean, if you want to go kill big Midwest deer, you got to go to the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? Like, we did the show in out east, Harrisburg, in Pennsylvania, and we were kind of joking around with some of the guys, like, oh, yeah, all these small East Coast deer, you know.
I mean, they actually do have some big deer out there, but they're pockety.
They
but
they're pockety. And that's what I learned is, like, it's very pocketed to, like, oh, this area's got great genetics and great soil. Yeah. And it's, like, one county. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, yeah, guys are pulling 180 to 200 deer-inch deer a couple times a year out of this county. I learned that, oh, man, I'm drawing a blank on the state. Everyone, it's a little state.
New Hampshire?
Rhode Island?
No.
Maryland?
I feel like an idiot right now.
I remember this conversation because I was standing there with you, but I can't remember what state it was.
Delaware.
It was Delaware.
Delaware.
Yep.
I don't know why I drew a blank on that.
Because the guy was like, quit talking about Delaware, because we actually do shoot giants over here.
Yeah, so it's like Delaware's three counties, top, middle, bottom county, and I guess two of the three counties are just – take my phone off airplane mode. Two of the three counties are just dynamite. And we actually talked to a couple great dudes from Delaware that are like, it's kind of like a little Midwest. Yeah. It's like an agricultural area. So it's like everybody can go to those two counties in Delaware and leave Iowa and Illinois alone.
There you go.
Damn, it'd be about trying to get a lease in Illinois.
Yeah.
Right? You can't get a lease in Illinois.
No.
Like, it's impossible. That's what people too don't like think about the Midwest. It's like, hey, you know any leases up that are available?
No.
I don't want them. I'm going to tell them no anyway, but truly, I don't know.
Yeah.
If I did know, I would take it for myself.
Right. Yeah. If I knew, I wouldn't actually tell you.
I'd be leasing it.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody wants to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Is Kansas that way?
It's getting to be, yeah. That's one of those states that, you know, they're just pulling giants out of. And
right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely getting tougher. I mean, it's kind of like anywhere. I mean,
yeah.
It seems like everywhere is getting leased up, whether it be for farming or
it's getting bad
or whatever. It's tough.
Real tough. Yeah, it's like Kansas is also one of those bucket list states, I feel like, for a whitetail guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone you see it on TV, you would dream of hunting Kansas.
Yeah.
Or like the Milk River is like those certain things are like the whitetail bucket list destination spots, you know, but I can't think of any. Texas probably, but.
And that's where I grew up hunting is down in Kansas because that's where I'm originally from.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
We always went out west every year, and you know, I shot up till a couple years ago my biggest buck I ever killed. It's like 174 inch deer, and you know, it's just like
you go western Kansas,
way out west, like you know, Colby.
Oh, I've been
so it's more west, but
really, I figured you'd want to go east.
They have mule deer and whitetail,
really?
So that was the draw out there, you know, as a resident. I'm pretty sure you could get just an archery tag, and it was good for
either deer or whatever.
It was a deer tag, so you can shoot either one.
Yep.
Was that like you'd rather shoot a mule deer there than shoot a whitetail?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
It was?
You know, just because I had killed a lot of whitetail
Yeah.
So going out there is a little different.
And where you live, probably they didn't have muleys, right?
No, because I was in far southeast Kansas. Right. So there's
They got pretty decent mule deer out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Good enough for a bunch of whitetail guys. Oh, yeah, that's big.
Yeah, I mean, 170s, 180s.
No kidding.
Wow. Pretty decent.
Can a non-residents hunt muleys in Kansas?
I think it's a draw.
Never really think about Kansas for mule deer. I mean,
I've always wanted to hunt that state, but never have put in for it.
Yeah.
Would you do it for whitetails or muley?
I'd do it for either one.
Yeah, right.
They got some giants down there.
I guess it would depend if you get like an any deer tag.
Yeah. I think for the out of state, I think you have to choose.
Specific, yeah. That makes sense.
Because I know that's what it is for rifle for residents.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, rifle, you have to choose a mule deer, and you may even have to draw for a mule deer as a resident.
Right? I'm sure there's less muleys. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Because it just seems like to be that western third over there.
Something you don't think about, I guess, is Kansas mule deer. Yep. Have you killed a couple of them out there?
Yeah, I've killed a handful out there. So.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, it's not that far. I'd have to look into it. I don't know. We got some buddies that have outfits in Kansas, but they're not in mule deer country. They're more central Kansas, but which they've asked, like, hey, you guys should come deer hunt out there. But I'm like, it's hard to leave. I would love to do it, but it's hard to leave, like, deer for deer.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You take vacation time to go kill whitetails.
Yeah, potentially the same caliber that
you
could kill here. And now it all depends. It's all situational.
Yeah.
But also, like, a different
experience.
Your tags
are filled here. You might want to go out there.
Yeah, then you can go. It's like, oh, we'll be right out. Yeah, we'll be right out. Well, that's all the Patreon questions, so we're good there. All those pair of questions are fake.
Were they really?
Mark set us up.
That's funny.
All those pair of questions were fake.
He wanted us to really clobber you, man. I'm like, I'm not getting punched
live on a podcast. Yeah, we took it easy on you.
Yeah, we downplayed. He's like, ask him this. Go ahead. No, I'm not doing that.
Ask about Perry.
That's why you were talking about the shooting and stuff, because Mark knew. Yeah, Mark was a little bit.
I could see you got red, like, man, if only these MFers knew, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, Mark's like, let him have it. I'm like, I don't know, man. I can't just lay it out on a guy like that. So I had to let you know that for the podcast was over, for people watching don't know that it was fake. They're like, those Perry questions are weird. They completely made up. Could you see me swiping from Patreon to my notes?
No, I wasn't paying attention.
I was like, he's going to think something's up. Yeah, he threw in a couple more, but we took it easy on you.
That's funny.
It was pretty funny. It's like, and I couldn't do it straight
a big
face.
Country boy working by yourself. Yeah.
I know. I was like,
you're like, who the hell asked these questions?
I like typed it down. I was like, ugh. I do love Perry. I think he's a great dude. You know, we did podcast with him last time we were down and went out and had some beers and stuff. And awesome guy.
Yeah, he's great.
But
been great, you know, having him aboard, because, you know, he is a ton of help. He's.
Well, yeah, I bet, man, like, certain things that you're doing, it's good to have another hand.
Oh, for sure. And, like, you know, with just all the, like, he's very mechanically inclined because he used to work in a body shop. So he's really good with all that stuff. And so it is nice having
his big, strong arms help you lift
big
parts.
Burly arms.
Those big man arms.
Doing all the hard work around here.
Dude, I couldn't read them how, like, I wanted to
I
ask
thought you
him.
Were going to start laughing when you were reading that one.
Well, I had to, like, navigate it so it sounded organic, like real, you know?
Right.
But I'm like, oh, God, dude, I'm going to get punched.
No.
Just keep bringing up Perry to you. Next thing you know, I'm asleep.
Wake up.
You just hear me snoring for the rest of the podcast. No, man, it was good to get on and have you chat with us. I'm excited to do more podcasts with you in the future here. And I'd like to get you and Josh and Perry and Carson out to the studio and leave the old boss man here at home.
And then just cut up.
Yeah, we can get you guys really let your hair down, you know, and get in there and drink some beers at the studio.
For
and
sure,
we'll
that'd
just
be
do
a
like
time.
We'll do like the Drury crew speaks out against Mark Drury, and then. Then you can get some revenge on them
there
with the Perry
go.
Questions.
Yeah. I'm sure I could come up with something.
We could have some fun.
For sure.
Well, cool. Well, thanks, man.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add in or anything? Or you said your piece.
No, I'm good.
Have you done a podcast before besides 100% Wild?
I've done a couple, but nothing.
Have you ever done one with Matt and Tim?
No, I have not.
Got you first.
We beat him. That's right.
No. Screw those guys. I'm reigniting the fake feud that we made up.
Right.
So, all right. You guys got anything to add?
Nope. I don't. Thanks for coming on, man.
Appreciate it.
That was a
thanks,
good
buddy.
Time.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, watching, listening. You know what to do. Go shoot a giant and your bow. We love you. Don't shoot it like Wade. Shoot higher. A little higher.
A little higher.
Shoot like Perry.
Yeah, shoot like Perry.